Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
A report published by the New Climate Institute recently found that as countries, cities, even companies have massively ramped up net zero emissions promises in recent months, there remains a major flaw in many plans.
Yes, and this has, of course, raised fears of potential large-scale greenwashing by many businesses. You've been hearing about this in the news as well. Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat is weighing in on the issue, saying that the rise of greenwashing is becoming the bane of global financial systems, and it could affect financial stability. Last year, a global initiative, the Voluntary Carbon Markets Integrity Initiative, was launched with the aim to ensure that carbon offsets are underpinned by real actions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and help developing countries access climate finance generated by the market.
And voluntary carbon markets can play a critical part in helping us achieve net zero, but transparency and trust are still needed. So let's find out more now on how we can ensure this trust and transparency is there. To tell us more, Dr. Bo Bai, the executive chairman and co-founder of digital exchange Metaverse Green Exchange, is joining us on the phone lines. Thank you very much for your time, Doctor. Now, in spite of the benefits for businesses, governments and climate action projects alike, even companies, are being asked to be more careful about the way they use these carbon credits. Awareness grows, of course. What are the limitations, that these flaws that we're talking about facing voluntary carbon markets, and how can all the players really overcome?
Indeed, you hit on one of the at least the three key obstacles for voluntary carbon market. The first one is the lack of standardization. This is the one that ICVCM, Integrity Council of a Voluntary Carbon Market, are trying to solve because there has been so fragmented standards in the past. And then that unification and the standardization is critical. In addition to the standardization, there are two additional important and missing points. The second one is called lack of infrastructure. Because we moved from a Kyoto Protocol to a Paris Agreement a few years ago, particularly after Article 6 was passed, all the carbon credit, voluntary carbon emission reductions, essentially have a passport. Just imagine that you're trying to move people from one country to another country, but right now the infrastructure is not there. There's no such a custom fully established to change the people as a passport, to give them visa to move from one country to another country. This is a problem many countries are trying to solve as we speak. The third one very much relates to the current beginning of the whole anti-greenwashing, is the lack of integrity. Nobody can really see the carbon or carbon credits. Mm-hmm. It's coming from methodology. So how can you make sure there is no double counting, there is no double, triple, quadruple usages, and that all these problems need to be resolved? So I would say lack of standardization, lack of infrastructure, and the lack of integrity is the problem that is plaguing the voluntary carbon markets as we speak.
The thing is, some environmentalists say instead of fixing the carbon offsetting market, what we should be doing is doing away with carbon offsetting altogether and getting people to make meaningful changes. I mean, it's been classified as nothing more than public relations exercises by some environmentalists. To be serious about tackling climate change, shouldn't everyone be working to stop carbon emissions from getting into the atmosphere in the first place?
I think that you certainly have a good merit in that comment. My personal view is it needs to be a joint effort. Take the highest net zero standard right now, for example, PAS 2060, which will become ISO 14068. Even if you want to go down that path, you first have to do two efforts. One is the whole emission reduction effort, being energy efficiency project, being renewable energy substitution, and so on and so forth. But whatever you do, you also residual carbon footprint, which can be benefit from a carbon offsetting market. The next point is a carbon offsetting market serves a function to channel capital from a developed world to a developing country. Mm-hmm. That is very critical because many of the developing countries don't have the financial wherewithal to solve the problem yet. So that's exactly what I think the environmentalists are certainly right for, particularly the developed countries in European Union and U.S. Okay. They should not only reduce emission, they should do more. They should also finance those efforts in the developing countries, and the carbon voluntary carbon credits is a channel to make that happen.
But Dr. Integrity, of course, becoming increasingly crucial, though, here as more countries and more corporations access voluntary carbon markets. So in tackling this double counting dilemma, how can distributed ledger technology create greater opportunity for visibility and alignment in the VCMs?
Indeed. DLS, distributed ledger system, is naturally designed for this purpose, but I would say it's a very beneficial tool, but insufficient. What for carbon is important is to make sure they are auditable, traceable, immutable. The blockchain technology is extremely helpful to make sure that you can trace all the way back to how carbon projects were doing to generate carbon credits. And then the distributed ledger is such a system that once it's recorded, nobody can really change that. Not even a government from a certain country can change those anymore. So it benefits tremendously for the whole chain of a carbon credits generation to the usage of carbon credits. Now, the distributed ledger is a tool, just like many years ago, internet solved many problems. But in my view, it's insufficient because we also need to make sure the government system is working properly to make sure on the ground there's no double counting, double usages, particularly double usages. And they don't want to have the system that is so-called benefiting from a distributed ledger, but in the real world on the ground, and then people utilize this for multiple times. That is why we call this on-chain to off-chain solution is critical. That is what we aim to build a system to help people to achieve that on-chain to off-chain solution to safeguard the integrity of carbon credits.
Dr. Bai, you know, to keep blockchain, in fact, perhaps even your own digital exchange and other tech that we've come to rely on running, you do need a lot of energy, right? You need data centers, which are growing more and more these days because everyone's digitalizing, which in many cases are not all green. Doesn't all of this actually counter efforts towards being environmentally sustainable? I mean, for example, how do you keep your own carbon footprint small, Metaverse Green Exchange's carbon footprint small, while you track the carbon footprint of every other asset on your platform?
Bharati, very good question. I'm actually very proud to let you know that Metaverse Green Exchange is the first financial institution in Singapore to have achieved the PAS 2060 carbon neutrality standard. We do a few things. Number one, data center, particularly the cloud-based solution, is far better than building your own data center in terms of energy consumption for per usage of the storage space. Number two we also do a fair amount of efforts to mitigate our energy intensity and our emissions. And then lastly, whatever residual carbon footprint, we use voluntary, high-quality voluntary carbon credits to neutralize it. That's why we were able to obtain the PAS 2060 carbon neutrality certificate issued by British Standards Institution. To your question on how blockchain technology and also the data center consumes a lot of energy, if you do a side-by-side comparison, a cloud-based solution takes much less energy compared to everybody's to build their own data system in their own company. That is the economy of scale. That is the efficiency that people can achieve. And then blockchain, at least the Ethereum blockchain and also similar type of much more efficient blockchain, serves that purpose as well. We're not talking about crypto. We're talking about the blockchain distributed ledger system itself. So sometimes people always confuse these two things.
Yeah, it can indeed be that way, which is why a lot of education is needed in this arena. And I certainly hope it's not just from carbon offsets that people are measuring their greenness, so to speak, because as we just discussed, that can easily be greenwashed, can't it? And I hope that the same applies to you as well in terms of showing that you are operating in a green manner. But as we move forward, Dr. Bai, all of these innovations in the metaverse, all of these innovations around us that people are still trying to wrap their heads around, it all comes at a cost, doesn't it? I mean, recently we were also having discussions with artists who were talking about how NFTs are detrimental to the environment. What then is the solution as we move forward in order to get everyone on the bandwagon and to get everyone to be honest, first of all, and then to take the steps to make their carbon footprints a lot smaller?
Very good question. One, I think what you're doing is very important to start with. Education, education, education. Bring awareness to people. Number two is to auditing. Make sure people know what is carbon footprint. You need to know the problem before you can solve it, which is why building for organization, doing ISO certified carbon footprint for individual, have a carbon diary. We actually have a system that we're building for a carbon diary, and then for individual to be able to keep track of the carbon footprint, and then to solve the problem. And the third, as an exchange, and a digital exchange, we're the world's first exchange where our ledger require every product on our platform to have both the financial information and a certified carbon footprint. And hence, any investors who buys product, build a portfolio, not only know their portfolio financial number, but also know their portfolio carbon footprint. This is to almost put them in a shameful position if they keep buying dirty assets. And then knowing their carbon footprint is a very important versus step. Now, there has been too many greenwashing, too many PR advertising, too little rigor, and too little digital numbers. That is why we believe stick to ISO standard. Get the numbers right. Numbers doesn't lie. I was a physicist by training. Numbers doesn't lie. Start with the numbers and then finding solutions. And then technology, as anything, can be good, can be bad. Depends on whether you use it for good purposes or bad purposes.
Yes, I think that people really need to get with the program when it comes to these things. If you're ever found out, it's even worse for your reputation. And of course, companies in Singapore too may soon have a clearer picture of how to carry out sustainability reporting, something that has been quite confusing for a lot of companies too. The Accounting and Corporate Regulatory Authority and Singapore Exchange Regulation have also formed a Sustainability Reporting Advisory Committee if you want more information. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Paul Pai, Executive Chairman and Co-Founder of Metaverse Green Exchange.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.